Thank you. So the purpose of our research was to first meet current and future demands for biodiesel production in Washington State, and second, to provide recommendations for alternative cropping systems or cropping rotations in Washington. Typical cropping system is wheat, and then rotational crops include lentils, garbanzo beans, and peas, and barley. So some current literature out there includes states that the nitrogen requirement for canola is not constant, in that there's a range of nitrogen as far as kilograms of nitrogen per 100 kilograms of grain produced, whereas in wheat it's pretty constant at about 4.5 kilograms of nitrogen per 100 kilograms. Also, nitrogen uptake efficiency is really high in canola, but its utilization efficiency is low, so it leads to an overall pretty low nitrogen use efficiency. Total plant in and grain in has been found to increase with total nitrogen supply. And then also, it's been found that 70 kilograms per hectare was the critical level of soil sulfur, so below that there's a decrease in yield. And also, this particular study found a nitrogen and sulfur interaction. Our study sites were in eastern Washington, Davenport and Pullman. And so in Pullman, we have an average rainfall is 540 millimeters of precipitation, and Davenport is around 378 millimeters of precipitation annually. In Pullman, we were working with a Palouse silt loam, and in Davenport, we were working with a Broadax silt loam. Just again, this is the average annual rainfall for both locations. As you can see, most of the rain or the precipitation occurs from late fall through winter to early spring. This map just shows the rainfall gradient as you move west or as you move east from the Cascade Mountains. We're in the rain shadow of the Cascade Mountains, so as you move west, you lose precipitation pretty quickly. And this highlights the importance of available water in any kind of cropping system in this region. Our experimental design included two locations in 2 years, randomized complete block design with five nitrogen rates using urea, two sulfur rates using ammonium sulfate, a fall split application with four replicates. I'm only going to mention briefly at the end some findings from the sulfur data, and then I'm not going to talk much about or talk at all about the split application. We in all four site years we seeded winter canola into fallow, but in all but one site year we had either low seed zone moisture leading to problematic establishment or winter kill. So we only had one successful year of winter canola. But in the three failing years, we reseeded in the spring with spring canola. So for our nitrogen response data, we fitted the data to this model, the Mitscherlich model. It's a commonly used model for growth factor response, where Y is yield, X is applied nitrogen, A is the theoretical maximum yield, B is the residual soil mineralized and seed nitrogen, and then C is an efficiency factor or the initial slope of the curve. So this is the data for 2008 and 2009, and the top is Pullman. The red diamonds are Pullman, blue squares are Davenport. The curve indicates the model. The points are means of actual data, and the error bars are standard error. As you can see, we had a pretty decent response in 2008, but due to high residual soil nitrogen, there was a dampened effect of nitrogen supply. And just to point out, the x-axis here is nitrogen supply, so the points on the far left indicate zero applied nitrogen. So this graph shows the two previous graphs put together with a second growth factor, and that's available water. And so there was a synergistic effect between supplied nitrogen and available water. As you can see, as available water moves up, yield does also. And this is the winter canola. So there's additional water here, but probably also a more extensive root system for the winter canola, leading to higher yield. This is the oil response. The previous was the grain response data. This is the oil yield data, virtually identical. And so we analyzed using ANOVA the four different curves for both grain and oil. And so the A is the total or the theoretical maximum yield. C, again, is the initial slope factor. There were differences in A. Pullman 2009 had the highest, followed by Davenport 2009 and Pullman 2008. And then Davenport 2008 was the lowest for both grain and oil. And the initial slope factor, there was no significant difference between either site location. This table represents or shows nitrogen supply, which is this number, and applied nitrogen needed to reach 90% of maximum yield. This is a little counterintuitive to what we were expecting, where the higher yield required the least amount of nitrogen, so we didn't find that higher rates of nitrogen led to, or higher needed nitrogen led to higher yield. So the points where we had the highest yield required the least amount of nitrogen. And in one case, we didn't need to add any nitrogen to reach 90% of the maximum. And this graph is nitrogen removal, grain nitrogen by nitrogen supply. And the arrows here indicate the nitrogen supply where 90% maximum yield could be reached. There's not really any increase in grain nitrogen owing to nitrogen supply. So this kind of contradicted what other studies had shown, where there's an increase in grain nitrogen with nitrogen supply. And those studies were probably further back in the nitrogen response curve. So this would indicate that there's no luxury consumption of nitrogen in the grain. This graph shows the nitrogen use efficiency, or the grain yield divided by nitrogen supply, owing to nitrogen supply. Here, the initial part of the curve from the earlier slides is cut off here, so you don't see the sharp drop in nitrogen use efficiency that you would see a lot of times. So in these, the nitrogen use efficiency is pretty low. However, it kind of falls out in the same way that the earlier slide did, where rainfall is a second factor. So we have the highest available water here, followed by the second two, and then the lowest here. So in conclusion, we found that high residual soil nitrogen dampened the nitrogen response. Higher yield potential wasn't really correlated with higher nitrogen requirement. There was no luxury consumption of N to grain. However, we don't know what the total plant nitrogen concentration was, so we're not sure if higher N supply increased total plant concentration. And although the efficiency factor C was not significantly different in any site year, there was differences in nitrogen use efficiency in the observed data owing to increased available water. And then finally, there was a nitrogen bisulfur interaction, but it was not practically significant. So. And I would like to conclude by thanking my sources of funding as well. Yeah, the far left points on all of those graphs were zero applied nitrogen. So that point basically represents residual soil nitrogen, estimated mineralized nitrogen during the growing season, and seed nitrogen. And so the other points have higher application rates, but even at the zero rate, for the second year, we had no. So that's what I was saying, that in the second year, there was no need to apply any nitrogen based on the response data.
The relationship between nitrogen and oil, as I see it, was it not confounded with the grain yield as you reported in terms of pounds per acre? So ultimately, my question is, was there a response in terms of percent of oil, concentration in the grain, and was it impacted by that? Might be a better way to look at it.
Yeah. So the Jackson paper that I cited earlier found a tailing off of oil concentration with higher nitrogen due to delayed maturity. So I'm not sure that it was statistically significant that we saw that, but I think it was trending towards tailing off at the higher end rates.
Taking off on that, in terms of your harvesting of the trials, were they harvested with a straight cut for harvest or a swath?
Yeah, we straight cut.
And then were they straight cut all at the same time, or were they straight cut at to prevent losses from shelling when they were mature, or were they all at one time?
So not all at one time. They actually became mature at different times, since there's different temperature, different water regime at each location.
I just mean within a location.
Within a location, yeah, they were all harvested the same day.
Any more questions?